Well, good morning. Glad you're here this morning. Going to talk about something else that the Bible doesn't say. I was contemplating between a couple of different things this week to preach on, and someone slipped me a note last week and with some thoughts, and so that's kind of where this message was generated from. I'm sure if you've had many conversations or any conversations with people about God or heaven, surely you've heard this from people. There's many ways to heaven. In fact, today it's becoming more and more popular, especially a significant portion of the millennials believe this type of thing. And also, for all those that want to be politically correct, it's pretty easy to say there are many ways to heaven. Some time ago, Franklin Graham was scheduled to speak at the Pentagon for a National Day of Prayer service. But he was disinvited because of some statements he had made prior to that about Islam, which the Pentagon representative deemed not appropriate. And so a writer for the Washington Post was covering the story, and she used it to try to attempt to refute Graham's claims that Hinduism and Islam are false religions that divert people from the one and only true way to heaven through Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. And this is what the columnist wrote. Oh, well, it doesn't matter where one prays, right? All prayers lead to heaven. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not say that. Unfortunately, many who say they are evangelical Christians also say that they believe there's many ways to heaven. You see, there's a sad deception that's rampant today, not only in society, but in the church. And so I want us to look today at the scriptures. I'm going to look at scriptures that refute this idea that there's many ways to heaven. Of course, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's kind of the cornerstone of the Christian faith in a lot of ways. But that tells us that's a way to heaven through Jesus Christ. But could there be other ways? I think Scripture really clearly points out that there's only one way. And if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at that for a moment here. Matthew chapter 7. Beginning in verse 13. Jesus is speaking, and He says, "Enter by the narrow gate." Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Enter by the narrow gate. It seems that Jesus is pointing out that heaven is not just wide open, easy, wide open pathway to get there. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide, there is a wide gate, and there is a broad way that leads to destruction. And I believe the destruction, the analogy for destruction there is hell. And He said, and there are many who go in by it. You see, Jesus was saying, choose the narrow way. Choose the narrow way. Go through the narrow gate. That's not easy just to blow through. Because he says the gate is wide and broad that leads to destruction, and many go in by it. Many are going to try to take the easy way. They're going to take the wide way. And I believe that's the world's way. Oh, there's many ways to heaven. But Jesus is clear. He says that that way leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. He goes on to say in verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now that's kind of scary, isn't it? It would be to me. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. The word difficult there means confined. Confined. You see, this idea that there's many ways to heaven is just not true. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, what Jesus is saying here, there's a very confined way that leads to life, eternal life, to heaven. And he says there are few who find it. So what does that mean? Everybody who goes to church, it's going to heaven, right? If you show up at Corners, if you show up at Heart Cry or Cornerstone or St. Luke's or First Baptist, you're going to heaven, right? You see, that's the wide way. A lot of people believe because they show up in church, they're going to heaven. And Jesus says there are few who find that. You know, when you think about, if you do the math on the parable of the seeds, he talks about seed being sown on the different types of ground. And there's four different sowings there. But as you read that parable, there's only one. One of them is fertile ground. On only one of them does the seed take root and bring forth fruit and a harvest. So one out of four, what's that? You know what that is? That's 25%. Could it be that that parable of the seeds, of the soil, is saying that only about 25% who have seed thrown, scattered in them, only about 25% really go? Think about it. It's certainly something to think about. And Jesus said there are few who find the way that leads to life. There are few. Acts 4:12. Look at Acts 4:12. You know, as we look at these scriptures this morning, a lot of this should be sobering. And I believe that rightfully so, because as we look at the scripture and the word speaks, the word's very clear. Acts 4:12 says this. I'm going to back up and read verse 11. It won't be on the screen, but I want to tie that in. This is the stone, speaking of Jesus, which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation, verse 12, in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That doesn't take a lot of explanation, does it? Now, you can talk about Islam, you can talk about Buddha and Buddhism and Hinduism and all sorts of religions that are out there, Mormonism, all sorts of isms that are out there in the world. And the word is clear, there is salvation in no other, no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. That's it. This won't be on your screen, but I wanted to share this with you. In 1 Timothy, it says, if I can find the right scripture. There's a scripture that actually bears this out in 1 Timothy, if I can find it. It says, for there is one God. Now listen to this. There is one God, one mediator, and that word mediator is capitalized here in the Bible, between God and men. And so to clarify who that mediator is, he goes on to say, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So it's kind of clear again from what we just read in Acts to what we read in 1 Timothy. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't say there's a lot of ways to heaven, or there's multiple ways to heaven, or there's several ways to heaven. The Bible says there's one way to heaven. There's one name given among men by which, meaning mankind, by which he must be saved. The name of Jesus. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. It's quiet in here this morning. Hope I haven't burst some bubbles. Actually, I hope I have burst some bubbles if there were some bubbles in here. You see, sometimes we tend to leave it, Christians tend to live in a bubble, or sometimes unbelievers tend to live in a bubble, that they have this fantasy idea that when people die, they go to heaven. It's automatic. I hear it, I see it, I sense it at funerals. Somebody dies, so they're in heaven. How often do you hear people say or make comments, you Facebookers, when someone dies, oh God, heaven gained an angel? Maybe. Maybe not. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who has Jesus has life. Notice the word says, he who has the Son, who has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He's speaking about eternal life. And he's not saying, oh, those who believe Jesus was a historical figure and lived and walked the earth has life. Those who believe in God has life. Those who believe that Jesus was a real man has life. Those who believe Jesus was a great prophet has life. That's not what he says. He says, he who has the Son. He who has the Son has life. You have to have the Son. What do you mean by that, Pastor? You have to have a relationship with him. You have to have him living in you. It's not about religion. I'll be honest with you guys. Religion makes me want to puke. That's pretty harsh, but it makes me want to puke. Because there's so many people sitting in churches these days and running around town and every place else all over the world with religion and thinking they're going to heaven. And they're not. Because they don't have the Son. They have religion. The Sadducees and the Pharisees had religion, and they crucified the Son. Do you see the difference? Coming to church, doing your thing here, ushering, greeting, working, serving, blah, 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 does not have the Son. That does not give you a relationship. Those things should be a result and an outflow of your relationship with Christ. Do you hear me? Yeah, I'm passionate about this. This is life and death I'm talking about today. Life and death. Everybody in here one day is going to stop breathing. It's called death. You're going to die. But you have a spirit in you that's going to continue to live somewhere. That's life and death. Heaven and hell is life and death. We don't hear much about that in churches these days. But I'm telling you, it's becoming more and more important in the times we live in and the things we're dealing with. Acts chapter 16. This is where Paul and Silas were in jail. They were praying and singing hymns to God. Anybody here been in jail? Don't raise your hand. Got one proud jailbird back there. Well, those of you that didn't lift your hands. While you were in jail, did you sing hymns and praises to God? Probably not, huh? It's probably why you were in jail. Paul and Silas were in jail singing praises and hymns and praying to God. And of course, we know God caused an earthquake and the jail trembled and the doors flew open and all the prisoners were set free. And then the jailer ran in trying to find some light and trembling before Paul and Silas. I wonder why he ran to Paul and Silas and not one of some of the other prisoners. Probably because those Paul and Silas were the only ones singing and praying and praising God, right? The jailer heard him. He knew where to go, didn't he? So he runs to them and he says, in verse 30, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just believe that we told you he existed. Believe on him. Put your faith, bank your faith on him. He who has the Son has life. Amen. Have Jesus. Paul and Silas were saying to the jailer, have Jesus. Have him into your life. Receive the gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation. There's not many ways to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. John, in fact, Jesus' words in John 14:6, I use this, I generally always try to use this when I do a funeral service or a memorial service. But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And who comes to the Father without going through him? No one." Does that sound like many ways to heaven? No, that's not my words. That's Jesus' words. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You know, we get this salvation thing overcomplicated, and oftentimes we swing the pendulum the other way and we get it too simplified. Come down, sit in your seat, pray a prayer, ask Jesus into your life. Give your life to Christ. You see, the Bible doesn't say that either. There's one place, Proverbs 23:26, he says, "Give me your heart." But he's referring to some things there. But it doesn't say that. Sometimes we oversimplify. Just pray a prayer and you're in. Let me tell you, I prayed a prayer for years and I wasn't in. I was not in. In fact, a lot of those times I was in church, hungover. Believe on Jesus Christ. Receive what he did on the cross as your gift. Receive it by faith. John 12. John 12, 48. Jesus is speaking again. I'm going to start in 47. 48 will be on the screen. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. You see, Jesus was saying, while I'm on the earth here, I'm not here to judge. I came to save. He'll be judging at judgment time. And then he says this in verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words, he has that which judges him. You've already got what judges you. If you reject me, he's saying, you already have what judges you. And then he says what it is. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. On the last day, that word will judge us. And you see, there's a bad, poisonous disease going rampant in the world today that says, that has the mentality that I can pray a prayer and get saved, and I can live any way I want, and I'm going to heaven. All I can say to that is you better read your Bible a little bit more, and you better pray a lot more, because I don't believe the Holy Spirit will confirm that. Amen. I don't believe the Holy Spirit will confirm that in your heart. Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him, the word that I speak. You see, the word judges. The word judges all things. The word is the plumb line for everything else in this world, in this life. And, you know, we got to quit playing around with this salvation thing, folks. I'm not talking about becoming a perfect angel. I'm talking about coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ, understanding what the Bible says and what it doesn't say. Don't buy this junk you hear on the street or some of it on TV that's called Christian television, that's twisted, and start believing what he said. Jesus said the word. The word is how you'll be judged. We need to line our life up with the Word. And no, that's not easy. You say, well, then we got to live by a bunch of rules. No, that's not it either. We need to live by a bunch of principles that are good for us, that will improve our quality of life and improve us as a person. But it's not about living by a bunch of rules. It's about living life. It's about having a relationship that gives you peace and joy, that teaches you how to love people the way he loves you. Not love based on what they can do for you. You see, he said, narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way, and few are those who will find it. So, we need to take that seriously. We need to take that seriously. Amen. Hebrews 12. Nigel, would you come on up? Hebrews chapter 12. And this verse that I'm going to share with you is found in a few places here. But in Hebrews chapter 12, we kind of get we come to a place where the Word is speaking, but I believe the Word is speaking of the Holy Spirit speaking to the person and to people. It's in verse 25. And it talks about hearing the heavenly voice. You see, I know, I believe in my heart, a lot of people sit in church every day without salvation. They come to church because they think, I'm okay if I come to church. I'm going to heaven like those people sitting over there, those people sitting in front of me. They seem like good people. So if I go to church, I'll go to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say there's many ways to heaven. The Bible says there's one way. There's one way. And Jesus says it's a narrow way. It's not pray a little prayer and then just go live life like you want. Live ungodly. Live in sin. Live in hatred. Live without love. Live in selfishness. Live in self-centeredness. Treat people ugly. But I prayed a little prayer. You see, the Bible also says you judge a tree by its fruit. And an apple tree is not going to bear lemons. And an orange tree is not going to bear plums or peaches. And a Christian is not going to bear the fruit of the world. Oh, will we mess up? Will we make mistakes? Of course we will. But that won't be the fruit of our life. Hear the heavenly voice. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him, who spoke on the earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? The scripture says, if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. When Jesus was here and he spoke and yet they refused him, he said, if they didn't escape, how much more are we going to escape when he speaks to us from heaven? And he does speak to us from heaven. He speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. You see, believer or unbeliever, you have a spirit. And Jesus speaks to our spirit by the Holy Spirit. And we reject or we accept. We decline or we receive. See to it you do not refuse him who speaks. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Pray together. Today, Jesus' voice is coming from heaven. It's coming through his word, and it's coming by his spirit. And I want to ask you today, because see, I believe we can lie to other people. We can try to fool other people. We cannot lie to ourselves. Because we know in our heart of hearts when that point of salvation takes place. I believe that with all my heart. And so I ask you today, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you accepted by faith Jesus Christ? We hear it all the time. Seems like it gets redundant, doesn't it? But it's not. There's a peace that comes. There's a change that comes. Life changes. And He's calling you today, young and old. Young and old. Are you going to reject Him? Are you going to accept Him? That's the choice we have before us today. In Deuteronomy, He says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. So if you need Christ this morning, I'm just going to come down here on the floor and ask you to just get up and come up here and let's talk about it. Let's just make a decision. It's not about praying a prayer. It's not about doing this or doing that. It's about getting real with yourself and getting real with God. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no one's going to heaven except through me. So if you're here today and you're not sure about that, why don't you make sure? Why don't you come right now and enter into the narrow gate? Sure, it's not easy. But it's easy enough to get up on your feet and come forward and say, I do not deny Christ. I publicly acknowledge Christ as my Savior. Come on now. I'll give you just a minute. I'm not going to stand here and beg or plead. I've given you the word. It's your choice. If you need Christ in your life, come now. If you're hearing the voice of God right now, don't harden your heart, the word says. Come on. Don't let pride hold you back. The devil is the master of pride. Don't go. They'll think you're crazy. Don't go. That's embarrassing. Don't go up there. You're okay. See, I know the lies of the devil. I've listened to all of them. Last call. You need Christ this morning. Come and receive Christ into your life. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Him. Lord, I thank You today for Your word. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus, You gave to us that we might have life, life eternal. Thank You, Lord, that when this life is over for the Christian who chooses the narrow way, who trusts the narrow way, who trusts the one true Savior, Jesus Christ, thank You that when we take our last breath here, we take our first step in heaven. Thank You, God, that life eternal is for us who believe, who has the Son, who has life. Father, I pray today for every person here today. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would touch their heart and speak to them in a very real way. I pray, God, that You continue to woo people to You, draw people to You by Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, who convicts the world of sin and our need for Christ. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. We pray it all in his name. Amen. Amen.